What's up? I'm George Massey. It's the George Massey Show. We are going to talk about this Last Resort Tell All Part 1, Season 2 Tell All Part 1, Last Resort that just aired. It was a lot more crazy than I thought. What's up, Raven? Kara's going to join us. Hey, Shelly. Get all the drama tonight, and then they kind of ended the segment early with Gino and Jasmine. Because things were getting increasingly violent. Kara, hi. Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. Can you see me okay?
Yeah, I can see you and I can hear you. So there's some weather in your area.
Yes.
But yeah, I can see and hear you fine.
Don't give up. I will be right back. I just got to get out and come back in if it happens.
You sound fine though. Like considering what's going on around you. Thank you for the badge, Prinny. Consider what's going on around you. I can hear you and see you. So I'm really excited to talk about this. So we only got an hour and Jasmine showed up late for her arrival, which I think was on purpose. And
yeah.
What did you think of this confrontation? Because there was two, hey, Miss Karen, there was two instances where Jasmine threw something at Rob, right? Now, you know, we've watched violence happen on the season before. And, you know, if this was vice versa, if Rob would have threw something at Jasmine, Rob would have been fired from the show and arrested and all this. So like, I want to get your reaction to it because they didn't tell her to stop throwing things at him until she hit him twice. So I just want to get your reaction to that.
I'm Team Rob, 100%. I would have taken her shoes and shoved them up her ass instead of throwing them across the building. But good on Rob. She solidified everything we've all been thinking. Like, she is a vile human being.
What did you think about the way she attacked him for his OnlyFans content? Because we all know
ridiculous. She's queen of OnlyFans.
Well, right.
So
she's been on OnlyFans for, I think she said, 4 years now. So how can you condemn someone for doing something that you're doing? Like, also, I don't understand how that's...
She was on the show stating how she wants to be with women, how she wanted to go be with Nikki Exotica and all that shit. And then she turns around and is calling Rob gay because he has an OnlyFans. Who cares?
Well, that's another issue that I have. So for, like, you nailed it, though. Women are allowed to be bisexual. Women are allowed to have a few drinks in them and stick their tongue in another woman's mouth. But if a man showcases anything bisexual whatsoever, he has to be gay and then he's shamed. And I don't understand why that is. Why is it that gender and orientation can be fluid when it comes to women, but when it comes to a man, he has to either be straight and narrow or he's a homosexual? Like, and why is it such a negative thing? Like, she was using homosexuality as a weapon. And I don't feel like that's fair. If someone is gay, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. Yep. And it doesn't mean that's something that they should be ashamed of, but that's the way she was using it. And that's what bothered me, because I was like, there's plenty of people who are gay or bisexual or gender fluid, you know, all these different, there's nothing wrong with them. So the way you're weaponizing this is unfair to those people.
Right. What is wrong is that you're married and you're pregnant with another man's baby because you're a cheating whore. That's what's wrong. Who cares if you're gay? Who cares if you're bi? Who cares? Who cares? Nobody cares. But Rob felt it necessary to try to explain himself, which I thought was also unfair. He shouldn't have to explain shit to anybody.
You don't, when, I think a lot of people online, they were like, well, he shouldn't explain. It's more sus when you have to explain. And people were saying online, like, he spent all this past week trying to explain himself. And I was like, well, when someone attacks your character and it's something completely untrue, it bothers you. Like, if someone says something and there's a little bit of truth to it, it might irritate you, but it's not going to bother you as much as if someone blatantly lies on you. Because it's happened to me where people attacked me and they said, I told you about it recently. Someone said that I hated women. They said that I only take sides of men and I'm a supporter of abusive men and I hated women. And it bothered me because that couldn't be farther from the truth. And it really bothered me. And I found myself defending myself, and people were messaging me and they're like, there's no need for you to defend yourself. Anyone who has spent more than 2 minutes watching you or knowing you or listening to your content would know that that's a lie. So like, you don't have to defend yourself over a complete lie.
You don't have to defend yourself. And I understand that it's human nature to want to defend yourself when you're being attacked, I would defend myself. But the fact that he had to go on national TV and say, I'm not gay, I've never been interested, and the first 10,000 of my followers were homosexual.
Right.
That, who cares? Who cares who your followers are? It doesn't matter if they're gay, doesn't matter if they're trans, doesn't matter who they are. You have a base, and then you're on OnlyFans, and that's great too. You're generating revenue. Just like Jasmine, the difference is one of you is a whore and one of you is not.
Right? It's just interesting though, because she was deflecting. I called this whole scene, everything that she did, bringing up butt plugs. I was like, you're deflecting. Everything that he's saying is true. And the truth stings way more when you hear it out loud and you're accepting the truth. She didn't want to accept the fact that she's married. She slept with another man, got pregnant by another man, and then strutted in there to hurt this man. She walked in that room to hurt Gino with her pregnancy. Yep. That's a vile thing to do. Like, it's okay that a relationship didn't work out. Some don't, right? More than shit. If we're going by statistics, more than half don't. So that's right. Fine. But to use the fact that you're pregnant with another man's baby to hurt the person who brought you here, to hurt the person who paid your rent while you were over in Panama because you couldn't live in the apartment that you were in. You had to have something more expensive. And like all the things that he's done for you, even if you don't love him, you should still respect the person who did so much for you. Right? Like, you don't have to be married.
Still married to him. The first thing she said, she goes, we're still married, and holds up her wedding ring. Why are you wearing a ring?
I don't understand. Also, there's a picture, I don't know if you saw it, that her and Matt posted. She's wearing another ring, and it looks like her and Matt are engaged. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So, how are you engaged to Matt when you're married to Gino?
Yeah.
So you're a polygamist now? You're a polygamist? Like, you got multiple husbands now? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Like, I can't understand the logic of this situation and the fact that, and Rob said something that was really interesting. He was like, you wanted to come in here pregnant so you could get everybody on your side to look past all of the bad behavior and bad things that you've done to this man. He's like, well, not on my watch, not tonight. He was like, I'm going to call you out for what you really are. And I am more Team Rob tonight than I think I've ever been. I think Rob has really solidified that he stands up for what's right. And I know Sophie has been working a smear campaign against Rob for years. And she's trying to paint a picture of Rob of, you know, all types of different things that she wants him to be. At the end of the day, we've never seen any video or substantial evidence that Rob is any of those things. You know, you can call someone anything you want. You can say whatever that you want us to believe. But the man we saw tonight on the tell-all was standing up for what was right.
Absolutely. 100%. And the way that Gino kept thanking him, Rob was saying everything Gino always wanted to say and just couldn't. Gino kept saying, thanks for having my back. I appreciate everything you said. Had his arm around him, kept patting him on the back. Like, that stuff needed to be said. But her...
I felt like Rob was the voice.
Silence.
Well, Rob had to be the voice. Gino would never speak up for himself.
Right.
And I think, to be realistic, I think Jasmine picked Gino for a reason. I think Jasmine picked Gino because he's a weak man, right? He's more of a lover, he's way less of a fighter, and he's way less prone to start an argument or to start a fight. And I think she picked a man like that for a reason, because you can get over on somebody easier on a man who's just going to stay quiet. You can get him to agree to things that you can't get other men to agree to. Gino agreed, you know, that she could have sex with Matt. Not many men would agree with that.
Right.
You know, like, you can't convince me to let you have sex with somebody else if we're married. Right? Like, that's not a hard sell. That's just a hard no.
Yeah.
But Gino, being who he is, he's a soft-spoken, he's a lover. Yeah. You know, he's never going to argue or scream or fight or be, I don't think Gino probably has ever been in a physical altercation in his life. It's just not who he is.
Yeah. He doesn't like confrontation. You can tell he doesn't like confrontation. Right from the jump. Even when they were having their first fight in Panama and she threw the toothbrush. He just doesn't like confrontation, but he has things he wants to say.
Well, he made a comment tonight. He said, I have some tea and info that I'm going to spill, and I want to, you know, get this out there. So I'm interested in finally hearing his side, because Gino has been very quiet. Mm-hmm. And we've only been hearing one side. Jasmine has been the narrative controller. She's telling us what happened. She's giving us her version. But I would love to hear what Gino went through from his side of the story, because he's never said anything. He's more respectful of NDAs and of the show. Like, he keeps quiet. Jasmine will say whatever she wants to say if it'll make her feel better. If she can sleep at night, she'll put it out there. She literally posted, and I want to bring this up because I think this is probably going to be the canceling of Jasmine. She posted Rob's nudes from his OnlyFans on her story.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
It pisses me off because, first of all, revenge porn is now a crime. It's a felony in the United States. So, first of all, somebody call the police. But second of all, the real issue is she made a huge deal about how Gino sent her nudes to Lindsay Ryder, right? He sent her nudes to Lindsay Ryder, and she said it destroyed her life, and it made her feel like she was less than a person, and it destroyed her mentally and emotionally, and she didn't know how she could go on. Meanwhile, and these were nudes, I think, of just her boobs. The picture she posted of Rob had his face in it. This was done with malicious and hate in intention. And I think what really bothers me is, if a man would have done this to a woman, he would be in jail. Yeah. And I think what's getting to me is women tend to get away with more. Like the way that she hit Rob twice, if Rob would have hit her twice, Rob would have been in prison that same day. So I really want to start seeing equal treatment of everyone, because there's no reason why a man should get assaulted and he's just supposed to deal with it, right? We would never tell a woman to deal with it.
If Rob took a shoe off and threw it at her, they would arrest him on set.
On set, take him straight to jail and charge him with a felony, right? Because she's a pregnant woman. And I think her being pregnant at the tell-all, I think, gave her a little extra courage, because I think she realized, she's like, there's no way anyone is going to do anything to me. First of all, I'm a woman. Second of all, I'm a pregnant woman. And I think that she reacts, because, you know, Jasmine, she can get violent. But, you know, we saw her rip Gino's hat off, throw the hat. We've never seen her get, like, this physical to the point where the way that she ran at Rob, it kind of looked like she was going to actually start repeatedly hitting him with the shoe. Yeah. Like, this was a little different from what I saw. But I think her knowing that she's pregnant, that she's like, well, what are you going to do? Because even if, and I think my biggest problem is, since she's pregnant, no one really looked at what her behavior and how wrong it was. They immediately said, well, he stood up like he was going to hit her, and they wanted to be upset with him.
Exactly. And when he did say something on, like, round three, Stacy goes, come on, she's pregnant. Who cares? Words aren't going to hurt your damn baby.
Well, yeah. She was telling him, you know, stop verbally going back and forth. And it's like, well, you didn't tell her to stop physically attacking him, right? Like,
that. You think that her getting huffing and puffing and ripping her shoes off and throwing her shoes, you think that's good for the baby? These people need to sit back, sit down, and shut up.
I just, this was probably the most crazy tell-all that I've seen in a really long time. If not the most crazy. Never seen anything.
We heard 17 weeks of hell.
Yes.
I'm so, it's playing out the way it is, because we earned this shit.
We did. We earned it. We stuck it out. A lot of people wrote me and was like, I'm not even watching it. But a lot of people messaged me and they said, well, I saw the preview. I'm watching the tell-all. They're like, I didn't watch the show. I couldn't get through it. But they were like, I'm watching this. And this was literally insane. Even Sean Robinson looked a little scared.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, you know, she's not used to the Jerry Springer type shows, right? Yeah. Sean is she's doing very tame shows. Besides a screaming match, that's usually always Angela is the only one that would really get in somebody's face, but Angela has never put her hands on anybody on any tell-all, right? Like, we can say a lot of negative stuff about Angela, but she's never hit nobody, she's never thrown anything at nobody. She has behaved herself, not her mouth, but physically, she's behaved herself. So I think when Sean saw her swinging, I think Sean Robinson, the look on her face was a little terror. Right? Did you see it? Because she was like, what job is this that I'm a part of the Jerry Springer show now?
Yeah, it was really, I believe, pathetic. pathetic is the word I'm going to use, but just watching her try to go after him for something that is irrelevant, completely irrelevant to anything. She didn't come out and attack Gino. She didn't come out and, I mean, she wasn't attacking anybody but Rob. And that's only because Rob was the only one with balls enough to say something to her face.
Yep. She got away with what she was doing for so long.
Yep.
And I think she was shocked that somebody stood up to her, because nobody really stood up to her this whole time. She got away with it. So I think that she didn't know how to react to someone going against her or calling her wrong or calling her a pregnant whore.
Yeah.
And it's funny because there's worse things that you could call someone, but I feel like that was so harsh. I think that's what got her so angry, because I was like, you know, you could call a woman the C word. There's so many other words that cut deep, but her being a pregnant mother and calling her a whore, I think it really hit home, because she was like,
yeah,
I am married to one guy and I'm pregnant by another guy and I got a baby daddy in Panama. And I think that word hit home, and it really pissed her off.
Yeah.
I was like, well, good. Somebody needs to get to you, right? Your behavior needs to be called out.
Absolutely. I'm Team Rob all the way. Good on him for throwing her shoe away. Good on him.
Oh, Seth says Angela's behavior shows that she hit Michael when the cameras were off. I mean, when the cameras aren't rolling, who knows? Right?
Yeah.
And Michael has not said anything. He's not come forward yet. I thought at some point Michael would do a live or do an interview where he would tell his side. He's been really quiet, which is really weird. Yeah. I felt like if the things that he said in the very beginning, remember he said that he had to find his passport because she hid his passport and escape. I was wondering if he was going to, you know, elaborate and tell us what he went through, because he was only living with her for a few months.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to know what those few months were like, but he's been very quiet about it. I do have some new information, though, about Michael. I was told recently that his girlfriend, who is a Nigerian woman living in Texas, is expecting a baby.
Good.
So we'll be following along with that. I don't know if he's going to show up filming again. I heard that he wasn't on Diaries, so I thought that he was going to show up on Diaries, but then I heard later that he wasn't going to be on it. So I'm following along with that story, and Angela is pretty sure that it's true. So Michael is expecting a baby, and I don't know, again, I don't know how far along she is. I just found out the info. I haven't even really seen a clear picture of her. He's been very good at keeping her identity withheld, but she is a Nigerian that moved to the U.S. and has been living in the U.S. for quite some time.
So do you think Jasmine's already had the baby?
We were just talking about this. So she wouldn't say how far along she was at the tell-all, but what Sean Robinson said, it caught me, it made me think, because Sean was like, well, you are very pregnant and you should be giving birth within a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Did you catch that? Sean said that, and this was filmed in January.
Yeah.
And Jasmine did look very pregnant at the tell-all.
Yes.
So let's do a hypothetical. Say she was 6 months pregnant at that tell-all. That was in January. So she would have given birth to that baby right about now. But that's assuming she was six. It looked like she was farther than six.
Yeah. I think she already had it.
Well, that's the rumor. Everyone is doing the math, and they've been pulling up between the sheets filming, because, you know, that was filmed October, November, and you could see the bump.
Yep.
You know, with most small women, you can't tell they're pregnant until 2 or 3 months. There's no real visual cue that a woman is pregnant until she is at least 2.5, 3 months.
Yeah.
And you could tell that she was pregnant. So I'm under the impression that she gave birth to that baby somewhere between January and now. And
I think she had it last month.
It's just weird, though, because when David and Annie gave birth to their baby, the 90 Day Fiancé account, they did an announcement. So now everyone is speculating, since they're quiet about it, they were filming during the birth is what the rumor is. They're saying that the camera crew was with them during that process, so they can't announce it, because they're going to air it somewhere. I don't know where. Like, I've heard different things.
the tell all did this grandiose reveal where she comes out pregnant, surprise everybody, blah blah blah. But she's been posting pictures of her, you know, her maternity shit with her and Matt, and comments about my baby daddy's so hot and all that stuff. Like, she already revealed all of that. So when Sean's like, Gino, are you the father? And everybody's so taken aback when he's like, no, you know, she already spilled the beans. Well, I mean, granted, we all found out before that, but she spilled the beans.
She, before Shibuti and I came with the story, right? I found out she was pregnant in December, but I couldn't say anything until I had to get my ducks in a row, because I couldn't say how I figured it out. I couldn't say that. So I had to make sure that I waited till enough time. And then after we announced it, January 2nd is when we announced that she was pregnant. Around that time is when she finally started admitting to things. Like, she admitted that Matt was around. She admitted that she was in Florida. Like, she finally started, because at first she was denying everything. She was kind of going along that she was still living in Michigan with Gino before we actually came out with that information. So I think they were filming her when she gave birth, and that's why they haven't announced it, because it'll ruin whatever they filmed. Because there's because since they weren't filming with David and Annie, they had just announced it. But I'm assuming there's a camera crew there, and, you know, they're following her and Matt along, whatever they're doing. And I think it would be beneficial for them to keep it under wraps, which is going to be difficult, right? Remember when Emily gave birth to Coben, and she was, she was pregnant with Coben when the season ended. And then by the time the tell-all started, she had already gave birth to Coben and was pregnant with Scarlett. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Because that's how much time was in between. So she was pregnant when we saw her last, and she was pregnant when we saw her again, and she had a baby in between. I don't know how it would be possible for her to hide a baby. Like, how do you do that? Because she's a very known face. If you see her, you're going to recognize that it's her, right? So it'd be really hard for her to be pushing a baby stroller and nobody snap a picture of her pushing a baby stroller.
I agree, but I'm pretty sure that she's found around it. I think she's had the baby.
I'm definitely with you. I'm like 85% sure that baby.
Last month, Matt's doing all the running and shit, and she just stays home so that she doesn't get recognized.
But how long do you think that they're asking her to keep quiet? That's my question. Because how long can you just stay in the house, right? Like, because I know it's Florida, it's really hot anyway, you don't want to be out every day. But it's like, how long can you stay hidden in your house before...
I realize it's two totally different cultures, but David posted that Annie's doing it for 100 days. So
100.
Yeah.
So, and it's just going to be her and the baby bonding in the house together.
With David. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot of people, they do that. So I was raised in the Deep South in Louisiana. And I remember my grandmother, when somebody would have a baby and the baby was less than 6 months old, and they were out and about, like, say they were at a grocery store or they were at church, my grandmother would yell at them and say, you shouldn't have a baby that young out of the house.
See, and that's crazy to me. I gave birth to my son at 9:18 in the morning, and I was grocery shopping at 2:30 that afternoon with my son.
Wait, the same day? They let you out of the hospital the same day?
They tried to keep me, but I left. I forgot to go grocery shopping earlier in the day. Well, I didn't forget. I was going grocery shopping, went to the doctor. They told me that I was going to end up in labor that day, basically. So I went home, called my mom, all the things, and then I went into labor. Went to the hospital, and I was like, okay, guys, like, I got to go. I need to get groceries. I've got a million things to do. And they're like, well, you need to stay the night. And I was like, no, I'm good. I came to have a baby, and I did. So now I need to go home. I did that with my son. I stayed the night in the hospital with my daughter, but I had stuff to do.
Well, I always thought it was odd when I was from the South, there's weird superstitions in the South, because my grandmother would be like, that baby's less than 6 months old, it shouldn't be outside. And I was like, I'm pretty sure babies can be outside, like, they're not sick, right? Like, because she was like, oh, you shouldn't leave the house with that baby. And I was like, I don't think that you can just not leave the house. I think babies need sunlight too, right? You know, wait, hold on. Andrea says there's a rumor that her and Matt are in Orlando, Florida, in Disney when the first season of, when the first airing of The Last Resort. Different has the baby supposed an IG page set up. So, okay, so last January, not this January, last January, I was in Disney World. I think I was in Animal Kingdom, and she was in the Magic Kingdom. I don't know if you guys remember, she was posting from the castle, the Magic Kingdom. And I messaged her and I said, hey, I'm in the parks, I'm gonna come over and see you. And Jasmine said, no, don't come, we're getting ready to leave, or whatever. So I was like, okay, yeah, whatever, you're in my city, just text me, we'll figure it out. And I texted a friend of mine who worked in the Magic Kingdom, and I texted them a picture of Jasmine, and I said, hey, have you seen this lady? She was in the park, it's a friend of mine. And they said, yeah, it was her and a blonde guy in the park. And I think the reason why she shooed me away was because she was in the park with Matt. And she didn't want me to see him. Because after that, she messaged me later and she's like, hey, I'm so sorry, I got so much going on. We left right after you texted me that. So I texted my friend and I was like, did you see them at any other time later in the day? And she was like, yeah, I saw them at night. So she stayed in the park the whole time with him. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, Andreas, if that's not true. And that was January of 24. I was in Animal Kingdom, I believe, and she was in Magic Kingdom, and she was taking pictures and going live, and I was like, oh, we're at the same place, I'm gonna come see you. And she flipped out, she's like, no, come over here, no, I'm leaving for the day, I won't be back. And then the next day she posted again from another Disney park. And I was like, oh, you just avoided me now, right? I was like, you just avoided me now. But now I understand why she didn't want me to see Matt, because back then I didn't even know who Matt was. It hadn't come out yet. I didn't know that he existed. I didn't know about any of that. It was really fresh.
Yeah.
But apparently that December, the month prior, is when Gino kicked her out of the house. So it was very, very fresh. Like, I knew that they were fighting. I didn't know that it was legit when they broke up. I didn't know that much.
Yeah. So I wonder how her kids in Panama feel seeing their mom at, you know, the happiest
Disney World without them.
Yeah,
I know. That would be really hard for me too, because you have a parent and they've been with you your whole life, and then they leave and they promise to come back for you, and then when you see them, they're out living their life as though you aren't supposed to be there too. Yep. I feel like that would hurt me even more, because her kids are young too. So it's like you're experiencing Disney and Disney World and the castle and these rides and stuff without your kids.
Yeah.
And it baffles me, right? And I feel so bad. And then we're dealing with Mina too. Mina did the same thing with her son. She left him behind, and now he's going to be watching his mom on TV living her best life without her. And I just worry about the mental stress that leaves on a child, because they're too young to even process stress. So I don't know how that's going to, you know, affect them later on in life.
I would be so pissed off if I saw my mother abandon me, having another baby, and then she's just off riding the teacups. Like, I would be so.
Well, the kids think that you're actively working to get them there. And it's hard to prove that you are when you, like you said, you're riding the teacups. Because what does that have to do with my paperwork? Like, I don't know. In my opinion, I would have to fix that situation before I could go out and enjoy myself.
So, but also, maybe you can clear this up. Her coming here to be with Gino on a K-1, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're married, and now they're getting a divorce. How does she go about getting her kids here now that her sponsor is no longer, like, isn't that still Gino's responsibility to get her kids here?
I think once she gets her green card, she can sponsor. Like, you know how Julia, she has her green card now, so now she got her parents, she's bringing her parents over here without Brandon. I think once you get your green card, you can bring family over. And I think kids is a little different than like a brother or a sister. Okay. Your kids are your immediate family. So that's like there's a special form and petition for that. So I'm pretty sure that she could.
Going on 3 years.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's going on 3 years. It's not about money. She told us when she was on Before the 90 Days and 90 Day Fiance that it was about money. Gino didn't pay it, and he didn't. It's not about money because she has a shit ton of money. So it's not about money. Paperwork can be rushed. If you hire a lawyer and you pay a certain amount of money, just like if you want a passport. If you want a passport and you want it fast, if you pay them a little more money, they'll work on your application faster.
Yeah.
And it works the same with immigration. You can't do it overnight, but if you get a lawyer and you pay the right amount of money, they can get the paperwork into the right people's hands faster than if you don't.
Yep.
So it's not about money. If she really wanted to get them there fast, that was the barrier she convinced us that it was. But that's not the barrier now. Now I'm wondering if she just feels like, well, it would be easier if I didn't have them here and just send them money.
Adults soon enough, so screw it.
She might look at it as, I'll just send money and they'll stay there. And then, you know, they'll be taken care of. She won't feel bad because she's sending money. And she looks at it as, because that's kind of like what Larissa did. Larissa never sent for them, but she sends them money and they're well taken care of. But at the end of the day, a child doesn't care about money. Money is a completely worthless thing to a child. They want a parent, right? But, you know, for selfish people, they don't see that. Children measure love with time. Money has never been a factor for children. You could grow up with $1 million or $5, and the child only remembers how much time they spent with the people they love. Not a private jet, not a Lamborghini. Like, children remember the time that they spent. You could have $5 life savings, and that child will love you and think that they had the best childhood because you were there.
Absolutely. It's sad because her kids are going to be missing out on all of that, except for the new baby. The new baby will have all of her.
Yeah, she's going to give that baby all the love. And it's bad because those kids are going to have like an animosity towards that baby. Because that's how when my dad had his first kid after our family, I had animosity towards that kid for a long time. And then after it got older and we started talking and we got closer, I was like, this isn't your fault. You know, like, there's no reason for me to have animosity towards you. You didn't ask to be born into this dysfunctional thing called our lives. Like, but as a young kid, seeing my dad spending every waking moment with that kid and not us, I was pissed off. Like, I was like, oh, I hate this person.
The thing is with Jordan and Maria. You know, Jordan's trying to be nice to Maria, but you can tell there's resentment there.
Yeah. She ain't even trying to get to know that kid. Nope. You know, you could see she's not bonding with her. But, you know, some people will look at it as, because Jordan doesn't have any kids of her own, she would look at this as a time to bond with this child. Yep. And, you know, it's the best of both worlds. You're a big sister, but it's a child. So you're like, you get both worlds, but she's not even looking to get to know or bond with the child because she's so pissed off at the situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's going to miss really good times and years of time that they could bond. This is her sister. And she's throwing it away.
But also, as far as kids go, so we know Wansi, we've seen Wansi, all that stuff, but she doesn't post her son with special needs because he has special needs and she doesn't want him to be picked on.
Well, Kara, I don't know if you heard, but we did an interview with Uncle Marco on the 9 Day Fiance Fridays podcast, and he verified with us that Wansi is actually a stepchild from her previous marriage. It's not her biological son. It's a stepchild, but her biological son is the one with special needs. So I don't know why she chose to bring her stepson on the show and not her son. I don't know the logic on that, because you should be more protective of just, because that's not even your child. Or maybe she looked at it as, it's not my child, so I don't care what happens, the side effects are.
She said she didn't bring the other boy on there because he's special needs and she didn't want him to get bullied on the internet. So you think that him getting bullied on the internet is worse than his mother abandoning him with special needs?
Yeah. I mean, because it'll be harder for him to understand why she's gone because of his condition. Yep. It's, you know, I don't want to say that, because even a child with no special needs at all, it's still going to be hard for you to understand why your parent would want to be anywhere other than with you.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to understand.
That's so, so sad. She's a horrible human being.
She's a pregnant whore.
Yeah.
in the words of Rob, right? In the words of Rob, and I don't like to call anybody's mom that. I was raised down south in the church, so y'all know that's not who I am. But this shoe fits.
Yeah.
Like, right? It just slides. It slides right on, you know? Yep. And I hate to say it, but that's who she portrayed herself as tonight.
Yeah.
That's who she was tonight. Oh, and I want to bring up before we end, Julia had a boyfriend at some resort and she won't tell anybody what they were doing. What's up with this Julia shit? Like, is this like made up? Because remember there was another boyfriend and we got a picture of him. It was like a bodybuilder and that was the guy she was kissing. Now there's another guy from some resort. Are they making this shit up or is this legit?
I mean, I feel like Julia's always been kind of probably a whore, just not a pregnant one.
Oh, so she made sure it was wrapped up each time. Do you think that Julia, because that was a question they're going to ask on another part of this tell-all, do you think Julia has cheated on Brandon since they've been married? Because he's going to ask her that on a future. So since she's been in the U.S., you think that she's been messing around?
I do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brandon used to work. Remember, he's an exterminator, and he was gone 10 or 12 hours a day, and he left her at home by herself. So that left an open opportunity for her to be out doing whatever she wanted to do. She had her driver's license. She had her green card. She speaks well enough English. She can get around on her own, right? Like, she doesn't need Brandon to take her to the store. So while he was gone for all these hours, it's very possible, because, you know, she likes to go to the club at the bar and dance. She calls it dancing. It's basically she likes to strip on poles. Yeah. It's what she likes to do. So do you think that she's just been out banging people? Because it kind of seems like that's what she was doing in her...
I think when she was still in Russia, I think she was acting as she was single. Brandon was busy trying to get her over here. I think he's been faithful all along.
Well,
I think that
she's
been cheating since she got here.
Well, one thing that we did learn, when people find out that you're working on their visa process, they don't put their hopes into that basket. Because we've heard so many people on the show say, well, I didn't know if I was going to be approved or not. And they do continue to live in their own country like this is their life. Like, they don't put everything on hold the way the American does. The American is like, oh, we're engaged. We're married. I've started the visa process. I'm not talking to anyone else. A lot of times the foreigner will be like, well, you know, it could be years before I get approved. So I'm not going to just sit here and wait around for years. And it might be a no. So maybe Julia was like, well, yeah, I like him. But who knows if I would actually be able to move there, right? Because there is a lot of issues and tensions between our countries. So she might have looked at it as, yeah, he's cool. He's nice. If it works out, that's fine. But I'm still going to talk to whoever I want to talk to while I'm waiting.
Well, and she also said, so I can't remember who asked her. Someone asked her, when you were you guys together when you were doing this and doing that? And she's like, no. And Brandon's like, we were engaged. She says they weren't together. He says they were engaged. I think it was one of the counselors that asked.
I think that before her visa got approved, this was all a pipe dream. I think it all sounded good, but until she knew for a fact that it was going to happen, I think that's probably when she started taking it seriously. I think for Brandon, it was serious from the day they said that they were dating. I think he literally... Yep. This was his girlfriend. He was going to marry her. He wasn't talking to anyone else. I think he took it very... I think Julia was just like, it would be cool if I could move to America and I could, you know, live with him, but I don't know if that's a pipe dream or not. And I think that she was still living her best years. And it's funny because her boyfriends, the pictures that we've shown, they don't look anything like Brandon. So it makes me wonder, you know, what her type is. Because, you know, Gino doesn't look anything like Matt. So it makes you wonder. It's like, well,
Jasmine has, from day one, has always said she likes way older men. She
nerdy. Likes them. Nerdy older men. That's what she said.
Yep. And Matt is everything but that.
He's the opposite, literally, of what she said her type was. And now she's having a baby with somebody who she said wouldn't be her type. So it just, it makes you wonder when they're picking people, is it like, will they do for what your plans are? Or is this someone you really want to be with? Because I feel like Jasmine and Julia were like, well, they'll do. The green card is still green. if I get it from this person or right? So I can still do it. And I think that's kind of how we ended up in these situations with Jasmine and Gino and Julie and Brandon. It's like, they fit the bill. The paperwork went through. It was going to get them what they wanted. Kind of with Sophie too. I don't think Sophie ever really liked Rob or loved Rob. I just feel like he would do, right? He was going to make the plan come to fruition. So I can tolerate that until I get what I want.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, it's pathetic. It is absolutely pathetic. And it's so sad that these men and or women, but generally these men fall so in love with these women, go above and beyond to get them here, and then get shit on. Completely shit on.
Oh, Gina, Matt and Dane do look very similar. They both have blonde hair and everything. Now that you bring it up, they do look very similar. So Jasmine has a type.
And Gino's not it.
Gino was someone that she needed. He was a puzzle piece in the puzzle of what she needed to get done. It's like she needed to get to America. She wanted to change her life. And Gino was one of the pieces to that puzzle. And now that the puzzle is complete, she doesn't want to play the puzzle game anymore. She wants to do what she wants to do. And Matt, and don't get me wrong, I think her and Matt aren't going to work out either.
I don't think that
Jasmine is capable of a healthy relationship. I think Jasmine is incapable of healthy relationships or friendships, to be like, if we're going to be real.
Yeah.
I don't think that she can maintain a relationship or friendship. I think that she's too toxic and full of herself to be able to maintain a healthy relationship with anybody.
Yes, I agree. I don't know. Also, why do we keep bringing Ron and Betty on?
I don't know. What was the point of that? They were on The Last Resort, like the show. Why did we need them on the tell-all? Like, I don't know. I feel like it was very overdone with Ron and Betty, and they were drunk and on a cruise ship. And I was like, go on your cruise. We don't want y'all here. Like, we didn't ask for this. Go enjoy yourself.
On during The Last Resort on the TV screen so that Brandon could say she cheated, blah, blah, blah. And then they could be super disappointed in her, just like they are. And then Betty can apologize on Brandon's behalf. And like, and then when they said, here's limits, and she says, what's limits? Like, to me, that sounded like she didn't understand the meaning of the word. You know? And Betty's like, there's the problem. There's the problem. She doesn't even know what the limits are. No, she doesn't know what the word is.
Well, I think both. I think Julia doesn't see anything wrong with being wild. But I think Julia's been wild. She's been wild since they met. And I think what's confusing to Julia is, you were attracted to me with me being a wild child, and that's why you married me. But now that we're married, kind of like when a man meets a woman in the strip club and then he marries her and then he wants her to start going to church and dressing in turtlenecks. And she's confused because she's like, well, you fell in love with me because I was a stripper.
Right.
So like, why do you think that I'm going to, you know, kind of like how Muslim men do with their women. They find the wildest girl they can find, and then they want to cover them up with a sheet. And it's like, that's kind of how Julia probably feels. She's like, well, I've always been this way. You liked it at one point, but now that we're married, now you think I'm a whore. You know, like, I'm confused. Like, this is what attracted you to me, but now this is what turns you off. And it's the same thing. Like, where do we go from that?
See, and I totally agree with that. What I disagree with is Betty putting her freaking nose in there. You don't see Julia's parents on there defending her, but we have Ron and Betty.
Well, no one is ever defending Julia. They're always teaming up against her. And I'm not saying that Julia is innocent. I think Julia probably could be a little more tame. You know, she has a prudish husband, right? He's a prude. So he's going to be offended by anything that you do. So she could be a little more tame to appease him. But I also don't think that it's her responsibility to appease him, right? Like, he picked a wild girl to marry. And this is what you get. You get what you pay for, right? You picked her. This is the way that she was acting when you were visiting her. So don't be surprised that this is the way that she's acting now, because that's what you like.
Exactly.
All right. So it was only an hour tonight. So I think I was checking the DVR, and I think next week is an hour. And then I think the last one is 2 hours. So I actually was hoping for 2 hours tonight, which is funny because we've had this conversation and we've always said it was overkill. But tonight's episode, I could have went for another hour.
Easy. I could have went for a couple hours.
I was having a good time. I was laughing. I was talking to the TV. Rob was the voice of the nation tonight. He was just saying everything that everybody has been trying to say for the past year about Jasmine and this. So I could have won another hour, but next week they'll be back for part two. And then if I'm not mistaken, part three is going to be 2 hours. But then there was like a between the sheets special pillow talk afterward that I didn't watch it. I don't think it'll be any new information, but Big Ed was on it. I don't know if you know, but Big Ed and Kalani were the special guests. So for the people who were saying that Big Ed was fired from the franchise, he's on tonight. So
that sucks.
Wow. I know, because Angela has been missing from everything, and she also did not film Diaries. So they haven't filmed one single thing with Angela since her last appearance at that tell-all. But Ed is still in the mix because he's also going to be on Diaries. So yeah, they are not done with Ed, but it does appear that they're done with Angela. And again, I'm kind of sick of the double standards. You cancel one person, but you don't cancel the other.
Yeah.
You know, I need a level playing field for everybody. Don't hold a woman more accountable than a man, and don't hold a man more accountable than a woman. Everybody should be held equally. Right? Because if Ed can come back, Angela can come back.
I mean,
period.
They're both. So
right. So if you're going to pick one over the other, you might as well just keep them both.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like it's not fair to say, oh, well, we can still film with Ed after the way that he treats women and children, the way that he treats them. But you're going to say, Angela, we can't deal with Angela because of the way she treats men. They both are wrong. Okay? Like, stop picking the less of two evils and just make equal decisions.
Yeah. It's awful. It's awful.
All right, so we're going to wrap, and next, well, we'll be back Sunday, obviously, for Before the 90 Days. We're all the way out on episode 8 on Sunday. We're already 2 months in, basically. It's crazy. And then we'll be back for part 2 of The Last Resort. And they haven't shown any previews for the single house, The Last Resort single house, which is supposed to be airing sometime after the tell-all. I don't know if they're going to get into Diaries first, then The Last Resort single house, but I thought it was going to be for both, but we will find out. But we'll be back either way, Sunday and then Monday, for the rest of this drama that we earned and deserved. Thanks for staying up late with us. I'm glad that the weather held out, because I know that your internet has been an issue, but I can hear you and see you still. So it held out. So I'm glad.
It froze on my end for like 5 seconds, and I had a little meltdown, but I'm good.
Good. You've been here the whole time for me. So
good.
So, yeah. All right, guys. Make sure you're following Cara. I'm tagging this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Masi, georgemasi.com. Anywhere get your podcast, type in The George Masi Show. And then there'll be one more after show later on tonight on the Night A Fiancé Fridays with me and Shibuti. We're going to break down the episode on there as well. Thank you guys for staying up late with us, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.